Let's do a couple of things here. One, open your Bibles to John, the 19th chapter. And I would like, I'd like for us, including myself, to imagine that we're there. And I'd like to ask you also, church, to hear this being read for the first time. Can we do that? So if you can, let me, that's Barbara's thing. Stand, if you would, with me. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. And this is the first time we've heard this, okay? John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Then Pilate flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed it in a purple robe, and they went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priest and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I found no basis for charge against him. The Jewish leader had a law, and according to that law, he must, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside of the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. No answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate says. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if of. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is greater of is." Then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone claims to be king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus on the judge's seat, and at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about noon. Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you for listening to that. Now, in this section, if we hear it for the first time, it rings with torture, it rings with humiliation, pain. Jesus is flogged, which is no small thing. He's mocked. Let's put a crown of thorns on him, a crown like a king. Let's put a crown of thorns on him. And let's put a royal robe. Jesus' blood, this crimson blood, is oozing through with strips of Jesus' skin and muscle attached to the robe. And he's humiliated. And to add insult to injury, they're like, slap him, you know. Who hit? So there's this pain and torture and humiliation that goes, then brings him out. Here's the man, or as my old Bible used to say, behold the man. Now, Jesus is being crushed by a golden crown. He's being crushed by the power of civic government. He's being crushed by politics. One, because he claims to be a king. His followers claim there's only one king. Pilate, this is Herod, Pilate the governor. Herod, this is Tiberius Caesar Augustus in Rome. He's the king. He's the one. He wears the golden crown. Not this person. So Jesus is being crushed by the government. Also by organized religion, right? And when organized religion gets involved, it can be a blessing, it can be a curse. Here, organized religion is smothering Jesus. And then there's power that's involved, and he's being crushed. And he, lastly, but not least, money. In John's gospel, Jesus clears that temple early, right? Stop this. Well, there's a lot of money involved in that. And those, at least these four forces, came down when this golden crown crushes Jesus. Now, I think it's remarkable. We think it's remarkable that Jesus is a pitiful victim here, right? You pick up on that? He's not a pawn in this system. Jesus now has come from the agony of the Gethsemane and all that struggle and the sweating and the crying and the blood, all of that. So we see God the Father in perfect harmony with God the Son and God the Spirit. Right, church? They've all come together. And now Jesus can listen to crucify. I read in these 16 verses, crucify and king five times. Crucify this king. He's no king. Crucify him. Take the king, crucify him. Crucify the king over and over again. Jesus somehow is in control of the situation, number one. Number two, what's amazing is he's quiet, right? Speak up. You know, defend yourself. And he doesn't. He doesn't. I have the power. Don't you power over you. And that's where Jesus, I think, steps up and says, I want to redefine power. You do not have power over me. If you have any power at all, it comes from above. Right, church? Meaning, this is not real power. Believe it or not, this is real power. Jesus somehow is in control of the situation. Now, is Jesus suffering? Yes. Is he more importantly submissive to his father? Yes. Now, Pilate interrogates and investigates and does all that. But Jesus, I think, begins to redefine what power is. He redeems the word. True power is submitting to God. True power is sacrifice. True power is love. In 2019, Emma Scholes, house is on fire and terrible. What was worse, she had six children in there. What any mother would do, I guess. She runs into the burning house. Her hair is on fire, her clothes are on fire, and she pulls her children to safety. Burns over night. Now, why in the world would Emma run into a burning building? She didn't have, you know, those like the firemen, the fireproof thick coat and the boots and the axe and the ox. That she runs in, you know, barefooted in a cotton nightgown. It's ridiculous, and unless it's sacrificial love, church, then it makes perfect sense. I'll sacrifice my body for the benefit. Right thing to do. So, the gold and the crown, the power. Pilate has it, Herod has it, Tiberius has it. Says there's power in the thorns, the power of sacrifice. Now, is it the gold of the crown or the thorn of the crown? Which is it? So, church, let me ask you some questions. And like Jerry, I'm not a preacher. I preach regularly once every 25 years. So I don't, you know. What happens is some preparation and mostly Holy Spirit. So I need your help. Can you help me, church?
Yes.
Thank you for the four people that said that, Faye. I appreciate it. So I'm going to ask some questions. And I think they're, anyway, if you agree, speak up. If you don't, just do me a kindness and say yes. So let me talk about some power, right? And you're going to give me back not a tepid, not a timid. All right, the power of the government. Is there power in the government, church? Yes. Thank you. Is there power in law, church? Power in the judicial system? Yes. As religion today? Yes. Is there power in politics today? Yes. Is there power in judgment and condemnation of others? Yes. Is, during Jesus' time here, is the power to torture or crucify, is that strong? Yes. Is there power in money, church?
Yes.
Yes. Now, when those converge, religion, money, power, politics, all can Jesus of Nazareth. They are into the ground, but oh church. Let me ask you some more questions. Are you ready? Is there power in Jesus?
Yes.
Is there power in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Is there power in faith?
Yes.
Is there power in mercy?
Yes.
Is there power in sacrifice?
Yes.
Is there power in love?
Yes.
Is Christ?
Yes.
Is there power in God's plan?
Yes.
Thank you. You know, in conclusion, and I might be like Paul that says that midway through Philippians, but I really hope to conclude. I'm running out of, John 19 is Friday. That's John 19, Friday. And it is excruciating. It's terrible. And it involves a crown of thorns. It involves a mocking, involves slaps, and it involves punches, and all of this, and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But you know what we call Friday? Good Friday, right? Well, what's good about it is on the cross, it is settled. Sin is wiped out, right? Jesus does it not in part, not some, and not most. He does it all. That's why we call it Sunday's coming, right, church, right? Sunday's coming, resurrection of the tomb. But they were sometimes stuck, I'm going to call this Saturday, right? Saturday is tough. We've had the benefit of the cross, but now we're in fear on Saturday. We're in denial on Saturday. All the apostles, you know, all these men and women of great faith, they're shivering. What has happened to our King? And they didn't know yet the crown of thorns. They're in Saturday. Now, I think we're sort of in Saturday now, right? We have the benefit of the cross behind us, and that is huge. And one day, Jesus will come and we'll see a myriad of angels. Boom, maybe this roof would just be blasted off. And that day is coming Sunday, right? So our marriages, and our relationship with our children or grandchildren, sometimes that's strained. Or we have a job that we hate, or we're underemployed, or worse, we're unemployed, and we feel, but Sunday's coming. We feel the disappointment of our bodies sometimes, and our relationships, and all these things that are important to us, we feel that, and that is painful. But Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming. So that concludes my sermon, and now I'm transitioning into the Lord's Supper. Okay. Emblems, these props. This is powerful, and this is deceptive. This is human. This is real. And so we, with the bread and the cup around, we're going to remember the Jesus who said yes and yes. Let's pray. We love you. And thank you. Thank you for the sweet sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He did it. He's do it. And one day, in that proverbial Sunday, as I'm calling it, the restoration of all things happens. That's when the renewal of all things happen. So bless this bread and this cup as we remember our sweet Jesus, in whose name we pray. And the whole church says, amen.